Tehillim, Perek Beis, Tehillim, Chapter 2. Today, we focus on Tehillim, Kapitel Beis, the second chapter of Tehillim. When one compares Chapter 1 with Chapter 2, treating them as two separate kapitlach, as two separate psalms, one is struck by the fact that the first perek of Tehillim deals with an individual, a single person, who is praiseworthy because he has not walked in the ways of the wicked, but rather has desired and studied and connected himself to the Torah. Now, in Perek Beis, we're moving from the individual to the world scene, to the kings and nobility of the world who are up in arms about something, and we'll soon see what it is. So there's this transition from the individual focus to the much broader focus. However, interestingly enough, our Chazal in the Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Tes see these two mizmorim not as two separate mizmorim, but as one connected mizmor. And they feel that the kapitel number 1, which begins Ashrei, and kapitel number 2, which begins Lomo Rog Shugoyim, but ends with the words Ashrei, Ashrei Kol Chosevo, is one connected psalm, one connected chapter. And Chazal say, Kol Porosho Shehoiso Chavivo El David, every parsha which was especially dear to David, which David really liked, Posach Bo B'Yashrei V'Siyem Bo B'Yashrei, he began and ended with the words Ashrei. So according to this opinion, Prokim Aleph and Beis are one united perek. This perek speaks about Lomo Rog Shugoyim. The narrator says, why are the nations gathered together, rushing together and making such a tumult? Ulu Umim Yehegurik, why are all these nations of the world getting together and scheming vain things? And it goes on to be a tale of kings who seem to want to throw away or discard or cast off a certain yoke, and yet what they're doing is in vain because God has chosen his king, the king that he prefers. What exactly, in historical terms, are we discussing? The Radak outlines two acceptable approaches to this perek. In one approach, it is the beginning of David's reign, of David's being anointed as king, and the objection, the protests that other nations are raising against this choice of David HaMelech. In another approach, is that this is not referring to the historical rise of David HaMelech and the nations which opposed him, but rather it is talking about the end of days, of the war of Gog Umagog, the final war in the history of the world, which is a war against the Moshiach, against the ultimate Moshiach. We'll try to look at this kapitel, at these coming verses, in both ways. Lama rok shugoyim ul umim yehegurik. Why are all these nations rising up together? It's all in vain. It's all futile. Because whether it's the kings of the Pelishtim who oppose David, or the kings of the distant future who oppose the Melech HaMoshiach, it's all rik, it's all in vain. Yisyatzvu malchei eretz v'roznim nostu yochad al Hashem v'al Meshicho. Why is it that these kings, that these royal nobles have schemed together, are plotting together against God and against His anointed one, being either David or the Melech HaMoshiach. Radak, whom I will use as the main commentary in my explanations, although, as I said earlier, there are so many beautiful commentaries, but I want to give you one consistent approach, basically, points out an interesting thing, that if this is talking about the kings who protested against David, who are they? They were the rulers of the Pelishtim. But the Radak says we never find in Tanakh that the rulers of the Pelishtim, of the Philistines, are called kings, but rather they are called Sarnei Pelishtim, the chiefs, the chieftains of the captains of the Pelishtim, but never the kings. And the Radak says, almost tongue-in-cheek, Heim b'ga'avosom hayu choshvim atzmom melochim. These chieftains think of themselves, thought of themselves as kings, but they're not, ve'enom. They're merely roznim. So yisyatzvu malchei eretz, these people who think they are kings, get together, ve'roznim nostu yochad, but really they're only a bunch of fledglings, a bunch of amateurs, a bunch of chieftains of a small band, but certainly not kings. Nostu yochad, they have taken counsel together. Interestingly enough, the Radak relates the word nostu, which comes from the word to come together and to be mitzia'etz, to take counsel, from the word sod, which really means a piece of advice, is related to the word yesod, which means the foundation. Because the Radak says, Kichen ho'etzo la'ma'ase k'mod ha'yesod le'binyon. Counsel, advice, is to action as a foundation is to a structure. And so they take counsel, wanting to spring into action, to do something against God and His Moshiach. What do they wish to do? Nenat koes mos rusemo. They say, let us cast off his chains. Venashlicha mimenu avosemo. Let us throw away his bonds. Some commentaries say they want to throw off and cast away God's bonds, God's chains. Some say they wish to throw off the bonds of the uprising nation of Israel, which under David will be dominant, and they want to throw away, they want to rebel against his dominion. But it is no matter, although they wish to rip off his rule, Yoshev Bashomayim Yitzchak, he who dwells in the heavens laughs, Adono Yilag Lomo, God simply mocks, smiles, scoffs at these individuals who think that they can throw away, cast off his chains, as it were. Here the Radak points out that this image of God laughing is, of course, a derech moshol. It is only a metaphor, kilshon b'nei adam. God neither laughs nor cries, but to us, the image is of a God laughing. And Radak says another good rule. Radak is always telling you rules to remember as you study Tanakh. Yoshev Bashomayim, he who sits, literally, in the heavens is laughing. What does it mean, God sits? Radak says, Inyan Yoshev Omeid V'kayom. This means that God is permanent. V'ato Hashem li'olam teshev. Whenever you find the word yeshiva, to sit or to dwell, referring to God, it means God is permanent. He's sitting. He's established. He's on his throne. Hayoshivi bashamoyim. Hamagbihi lo shofas. Oz, the pasuk continues, yedaber eilemo v'yapo. Because God laughs at them because he knows that he can speak against them in his wrath. Uvacharono yivahalemo. He can throw them into a panic with his anger. Here the Radak suggests, besides the simple meaning which I just shared with you, a very novel and interesting meaning. Oz yadaber elemo v'yapo, we translate and most translate. He will then speak to them. Yadaber, he will speak elemo to them, b'yapo, in his wrath. The Radak suggests that yadaber can come from the word dever, which means a plague or a pestilence. Dever koved miyod. And then elemo will not mean to them, but it will mean the elim, elei ha'oretz, the powerful ones. So oz yadaber elemo will mean he will cast a plague upon the powerful in his wrath. Va'ani, this is still God speaking. God says, ani nosachti malki, I'm not sure why they're all scheming against me. It's too late. I've already chosen my king, Al Tzion Har Kodshi, who will dwell in Zion, my holy mountain. The king is chosen. It's futile to object. It's futile to get together, even the nations of the world, the king, the Jewish king, or the Melech HaMoshiach, the ultimate Messiah, has been chosen. And all of this regesh, all of this tumult, is absolutely futile. Then we have words that are said by David himself, or by the Melech HaMoshiach himself. And he says, Asapro El Chok, I will say something as a rule, as a habit. In the words of the Radak, Osim li l'chok uleminhog, I will make the following statement a mantra of mine, a basic rule of mine, a guideline. What is that guideline? Hashem omar elai b'ni ata. God said to me, you are my son. Now this phrase and subsequent ones has been used by the Christian faith to be a source for a son of God, which is the basis of their religion. Radak, in a passage which is censored in most editions, but which we have easy access to nowadays, refutes this possible translation and says that God's son, when God said to me, you are my son, the word son in Tanakh simply means someone who worships God, who serves God. In the words of Radak, Kol mi sheshomeya la'avodas ho'el yikore b'no. Whoever serves God, listens to his service, is called God's son. And we find throughout the Torah the words sons of God. Bonim atem la'ashem elokeichem. Jewish people are the sons of God. They are b'nei el choy, the sons of the living God. If you obey someone like a son obeys his father, you can be called the son. And God has already chosen David, or the Melech HaMoshiach, to be his son. Ani hayom yiliditicha. I have given birth to you today. Does this mean that David, or the Melech HaMoshiach, was born that day? Again, Radak says no. He was newly born. He was reborn. He was born anew. He developed a new koach, new talents, new powers, new resources. On this day, he received a ruach elokim, as the pasuk says about David, that from the day that in Shmuel Aleph, on the day that he was anointed king, vatitzlach ruach Hashem el David mehayom ha'uv omolo. That's the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, perek. Tes Zion Posuk Yud Gimel. From that day on, there was a Ruach Hashem, a spirit of God that permeated David. From that day on, he began to be musical and poetic and recited the Shirim u'Mizmorim, which we call Tehillim. From that day on, he had a special Ruach Gevura, a special heroic power. What was born was not his being born in the literal sense, but rather he was born anew with new powers and new talents and new skills. Sha'al mimeni, this is still David speaking, and David is saying that God said to me, ask of me, Sha'al mimeni, just ask, Ve'et no goyim nach alosecho, I will give nations as your inheritance, v'achuzoscha afsei oretz, and you will rule the extremities of the earth. Tiroeim, when you rule them, smash them. You have the power, if they oppose you, to smash them, b'shevet barzel, with an iron mace, M-A-C-E. Kichli yotzer t'napzeim, smash them and scatter them like a clay vessel, which when you break it, it scatters into all directions. Again, Radak distinguishes between teroeim, which means simply to smash, to break into pieces, and t'napzeim, which means to smash it in such a way that the pieces go scattering, scattered all over, the pieces go flying every which way. And finally, David, or the Melech HaMoshiach, turns to these kings who are getting together and scheming and plotting and talking and trying to overthrow this new regime, the regime of the Jewish people or the regime of the Messiah himself. And David says to them, let me give you a piece of advice. Va'atom elochim haskilu. Think it over before you continue your revolt, your rebellion. Think it over. Hivosru shoftei oretz. Take heed. Learn a lesson, those you who are rulers, judges of the earth. If du'es Hashem b'yiro, serve God in fear, v'gilu b'ra'odo, and rejoice in trembling. There are many ways of understanding this phrase, rejoice in trembling. But I often think of it as being one of the most unique and special and core beliefs of our faith, of the Jewish faith. V'gilu b'ra'odo. One can be joyful and fearful at the same time. There's no contradiction between joy and awe. And we serve God in joy and awe. And then, Pasuk Yud Beis, Nashkuvar. This is still David speaking. And David says, Nashkuvar, which can mean kiss the son, kiss the king, David HaMelech, or the Melech HaMoshiach, who has been called in the earlier Pasuk a son. Or it could mean, suggests Radak, kiss he who is pure of heart, var meaning pure, livorei levov, pure of heart, kiss the one who is so pure. Or, he suggests as a third possibility, bar can mean the chosen one, like again Shmuel Aleph, Kapitel Yud Zayin, Pasuk Ches, beru lochem ish, choose someone, like Shaul Bechir, Hashem, Shaul, the chosen one. Nashkuva could mean either kiss the son, kiss the pure of heart, or kiss the chosen one. In other words, embrace this new regime, this David HaMelech, or this Melech HaMoshiach. Because otherwise, penye enaf v'sov du derech. Because otherwise, you will bring upon yourself God's wrath, and you will become lost. Your way will go nowhere. You'll go to a blind alley. Ki yivar kemat apo. Because God's wrath is almost kindled. So you better back off. On the other hand, ashrei kol chosevo. Happy are those who find their protection in him. So this is Perek Beis, a beautiful Perek, which anticipates the resistance, the rebellion, which will come at the time of the Yemos HaMashiach, and which was in a certain way already happened when David HaMelech began to make his way up in the world as the Jewish king. The great rebellion against him, but that rebellion loses sight of the Bechira, of the fact that God chose this person, and God gave him certain powers and certain abilities to dominate over others, as well as the instruction to use might, if necessary, against his enemies. And there is the final advice to these kings. Take heed. Hob seichel. Haskilu. Have seichel. Use your intelligence and do the right thing. Serve God. Submit to this new regime, the messianic regime, the regime of David HaMelech. And in that way, you will find protection. You will find that you can be a chose, a one who finds protection, who finds shelter in him. In him, of course, could mean in God, or it could mean in him, in God's chosen Moshiach. So this is chapter 2, and we next will turn our attention to chapter number 3.